Pray with me. Father, as we open your word, I pray that you give us understanding of what you want from us. It's not a little bit. There are no little bit Christians. You want all of us. Father, clear the distractions and the things that are on our mind. Clear them away that as we open your word, you reveal yourself to us. That we learn more about you. Father, let us hear from you. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear that we may grow deeper in you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As the passage in Romans that we were looking at reminds us that while we are Christians, and there's a point in our life where we can mark where I accepted Christ, it doesn't mean that you will not continually fight against your old selfishness. The problem is when we pay more attention to that than to Christ. And we can never grow in Christ if we're looking at ourselves. Now that's a struggle, because that's how we were made. This human form is self-preservation first. Take care of me. And Christ is the complete opposite of that, and to yield over to Him is a process. But let me ask you, how many people have told you, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites? We've all heard it. And guess what? They're right. They're right. That battle between my selfishness and living a godly life doesn't change until you leave this planet and are with Him. What changes is how good you are at fighting it. And how good you are at focusing on Christ and not yourself. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Amos. I'll tell you, in studying Scripture, I don't think there is anything that tops God's dislike list more than somebody who says, I'm a Christian, but they're not. Because in being a Christian and saying I'm a Christian, you can't be a little bit Christian. It's like my grandma used to say, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You either are or you're not. You can't be a little bit a Christian. You either are or you're not. And some of us really need to examine who we are at times. And what Amos was sent to do is to spread that message that God was fed up with people who said they're Christians and they're not. Let's look at Amos 1, verse 1. Amos is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. The word of Amos, one of the shepherds at Tekoa. I'm going to stop right there. Amos lives in the south, and he's a country boy. He is a country boy from the word go. Tekoa is so far out that there wasn't even no highway that run through Tekoa. Okay? He's in the sticks. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He's way out in the sticks. And sometimes people, especially from the city, think that people from the sticks don't know a lot. Generally, what I found is their common sense is way so much further than everybody else's. But I got a story to illustrate this. I want to share it with you. A grandson went to stay with his grandmother, who lived way out in the sticks. And he asked her, he said, you know, how do you survive out here, away from everything? And listen to her response. The grandmother replied, well, let me think for a minute. I was born before television, polo shirts, frozen food, Xerox, contact lenses, and Frisbees. There was no radar, credit cards, laser beams, or ballpoint pens. Man had not invented pantyhose, air conditioner, dishwashers, clothes dryers, and clothes were hung on a line in the fresh air. Are y'all relating to her, any of you? Man had not yet walked on the moon. Your grandfather and I got married first and then lived together. Every family had a father and a mother. Until I was 25, I called every man older than me, sir. And after 25, I called every policeman, sir. We were before computer dating, dual careers, daycare centers, and group therapy. We were taught to know the difference between right and wrong, to stand up and take responsibility for our actions. Serving our country was a privilege, and living in this country was a bigger privilege. We never heard of FM radios, tape decks, CDs, electric typewriters, yoga, or guys wearing earrings. We listened to Big Band, Jack Benny, and the president's speeches on the radio. And I don't remember ever hearing a kid blow their brains out listening to Tommy Dorsey. The term making out referred to how you were doing on your school exams. Pizza Hut, McDonald's, and instant coffee were unheard of. We had 5 and 10 cent stores, and you could actually buy things in them for 5 and 10 cents. Ice cream, cones, phone calls, and Pepsi were a nickel. And if you really wanted to splurge, you could spend your nickel on enough stamps to mail one letter and two postcards. You could buy a new Chevrolet coupe for $600, but who could afford one? And too bad, because gas was 11 cents. In my day, grass was mowed, Coke was a cold drink, pot was something your mother cooked in, and rock music was your grandmother's lullabies. Aides were helpers in the principal's office. Chips were meant as pieces of wood. Hardware was found in a hardware store, and software wasn't even a word. How did we survive? Our lives were governed by the Ten Commandments, good judgment, and common sense, and the Bible was our roadmap. Y'all remember those days? That is where Amos came from. Okay? He was, if you put cornbread and black-eyed peas on the table for dinner, he would have been happy. Sense to some of y'all. I am a bit of a unicorn in a sense. Because of the way I was raised, I can sit down at a table with the uppity up as you can get, that's got 10 pieces of silverware going in all directions, and I can tell you which one to use when. But until I was 10 or 11 years old, I was spent most of my time awake with my great-grandparents. And while they lived in the city, they were country folk. There was a garden, a huge garden. We went to the mountains every fall to pick apples and brought them back, cut them, laid them out on screen wire to dry. We canned every fall. They were as country as you could get. My great-grandmother quit school in grade, but she might have been one of the smartest people I ever knew, and she could tell you the Bible back and forth because Scripture governed her life. Now, the sad thing for us is while we have these and these and the Scripture in any form, fashion that you want it, I guarantee you she knows more than I know. Because Scripture, for all of us, doesn't play as important part in our everyday life as it should. If it did, we would be more like Jesus and less like us. And that was the message that Amos was carrying. Now, think, if you will, he's as far back in the sticks as you can get. And God called him out of the south and sent him to the north to spread a message. Because God couldn't find anybody up in town that had enough sense to pay more attention to him than they did themselves. Look at turn over with me to chapter 7, verse 10. Chapter 7, verse 10. Then Amarias, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, the king of Israel. Now, remember, these are God's people. Okay? And Jeroboam was not a godly man. He was much more concerned about himself than he was God. And his priest sends a message. Now, his priest, this Amaziah, is not a godly man either. He's worshiping everything that you can imagine other than God. And Amos, this country boy, comes in here and he's causing all kind of trouble. So Amaziah sends a message. Amos is raising conspiracies against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying: Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. And then look at verse 12. Then Amaziah says to Amos, "Get out of here, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and do your prophesying there. Do not prophesy anymore in Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. He's basically saying, go away and leave us alone. We don't want to hear what you have to say. Amos has been brought out and he's standing in the streets spreading God's message of telling them what's coming because they're hypocrites. They are more concerned about themselves than they are God. And Amos is saying, God will not tolerate that much longer. Look at his response, verse 14. Amos answered Amaziah, "I am neither a prophet or a son of a prophet. I was a shepherd and took care of a sycamore fig tree. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people in Israel.'" This country boy fig picker didn't want this job. Do you hear that? He didn't want this job. He would much rather be picking figs and tending the sheep out in the country as opposed to being in the city. Now, I guarantee you, Robert can tell you, country boys don't like city. They don't like being in town. And he was there only because God told him to. Because he was listening to what God told him to do, and he was willing to do it. That's what God wants from us. And God doesn't want hypocrites. He wants people who are all Christian, not part Christian. Turn with me back to chapter 5, because I want to show you God's words to the people and what God was so upset with. At chapter 5, I'm going to read it, verse 21. This is God's words to these church people. Okay? I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a strain on me. Even though you bring me burnt offering and grain offerings, I do not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your song, I will not listen to your music of your harps. But let justice roll like a river, righteous like never flowing streams. Let me translate that for you. You can't go through the motions and fool God. I can't go through the motions and fool God. If I walk in these doors just because I'm checking a box, you'd be better off not coming in here. And to say I'm a Christian and not be one, you'd be better off not saying you're one. God doesn't like it. God wants people who are all in, and what God wants for you and I is to be willing to follow Him every moment of every day. Now I'll tell you, the first church I was on staff at when I was out of seminary is as far out away off the beaten path as you can get. Jody and Brian both know. That church we were members of, you don't just happen up on it, okay? Especially if you're not from around here, you don't just show up. And part of my job at that church was dealing with the administrative matters. And there was not a week that went by that somebody off the street didn't show up in my office and say, I'm on my way from Florida to California, and I just happened up on your church, and I'm out of gas, and I need some money. That's the biggest load of bull you could ever haul in. And so what I would say is, okay, let's go across the street to the gas station. There was a little country store out there. Let's go across the street over there. We'll fill your car up. Oh, no. I just need some money. No, you don't. What that will do to you is get you very skeptical. Okay? And if you are skeptical like me, you better guard against the leading of the Holy Spirit to tell you to do something and you talk yourself out of it because they don't really need it. They're just scamming me. What the person I help or the leading that God gives me is irregardless of the outcome. You hear that? What God leads me to do doesn't have anything to do with how it's going to turn out. My responsibility is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit every moment of every day and not worry about the outcome. That's God's responsibility. Whatever God tells me to do, that's what He wants from you and I. But we have to be careful and make sure that we're listening. Because sometimes God works in ways that we can't imagine. Have you thought about that? Sometimes God works in ways that you and I can't imagine. Think about that and watch this.
I got a glimpse of the front grill of a car. It looked like it was coming the wrong direction.
On August 11, 2014, David Fredrickson and his driving partner were driving on I-10 near Biloxi, Mississippi, when David's dash cam recorded a tragic crash.
It was a pretty big explosion, and then the road, the car, everything was on fire.
As flames engulfed the car, David grabbed the fire extinguisher in his truck and ran toward the scene of the accident, afraid of what he might find.
When I got out of the truck and I pulled the pin, just automatically, I was praying, God, please don't let me have to deal with somebody halfway burned alive, screaming. I didn't want to see anything like that. And my first reaction is I didn't think they were alive.
As David fought the fire, something caught his eye.
I seen this little head pop up in the back window. And then immediately I was like, wow, they're alive.
Trapped in the car was a woman and her two-year-old granddaughter.
The lady was laying in the front seat, and she was trying to kick the door open.
David tried to help pull the door open. Time was running out.
I heard the metal bending, but I'm a pretty good-sized guy. And if you watch the video, you kind of see me jerking on it to get it open, but it wouldn't open.
Once more, he prayed.
At that point, what could I do? I didn't know. I had never been in a situation like that.
As other motorists came to help, the door finally broke free.
And then in the back seat, that little head, I seen it pop up again. And I just, out of the corner of my eye, I seen some other people showing up. So I got into the back seat. I grabbed the little girl. I reached in. She grabbed me around the neck.
While others pulled the woman to safety, David carried the granddaughter safely to the side of the interstate.
It was surreal that they were okay. I mean, I was just, I didn't think anybody could live through it, truthfully.
David believes God intervened and used him to help rescue them.
The car was just on fire there. I didn't burn my hands. It wasn't hot. I mean, I do believe that he protected me and protected them. If I would have been 20 seconds sooner, I would have been down the road. If I would have been 10 seconds sooner, it would have been me she hit. I have never met the lady, but I'm just very happy that I was able to help her that day.
As David travels the nation's highways, he's ready and willing to be used again by God.
When you have a relationship with God, supernatural happens all the time. The little girl, I know that God's got plans for her. That's why he protected her that day. God puts people where they need to be. It just reassures me that if he needs me and he puts me in front of somebody that needs my help, I help him. You got to listen to God.
Did you hear that? When you have a relationship with God, the supernatural happens all the time. Anybody ever used one of these? Mine's kind of tangled up at the moment. This is a biblical tool. It's a plumb line. The thing about this is, this line's always going to be straight. When you hang it, it's going to straighten itself out. It's one of God's favorite tools. Did you know that? Look with me. Amos chapter 7, verse 7. This is what God showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that was built true to plumb. With a plumb line in his hand, the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people in Israel. I can spare them no longer." You know what that means? You're either with God or you're not. God's standard doesn't change, and we can't fool God. God said, you're either in line or you're not in line. You can't be a little bit of a Christian. And what God wants from you and I is to follow Him every day so that we're used by Him. Listen to Matthew 12, verse 30. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. If you're not with me, you oppose me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. You can't be a little bit of a Christian. And what Amos was sent to tell the people is, stop being a hypocrite. If you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. The standard doesn't change. We can't listen to our selfish desires and follow God. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for Amos and for his willingness to leave his comfort zone and follow you. Father, my prayer is that even when you ask us to do things that are uncomfortable, out of our comfort zone, and our first thought is, I don't want to get involved. Father, I pray that Amos will be an example of us caring more about what you think than what we want. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.